Right, well, it's a real pleasure to have Dave come and talk with us this morning. And just whilst he's setting up his audiovisual over there, Father, do pray for Dave. Ask that as he speaks to us this morning, he'd know your presence. Father, we pray for the technology too, that would sort itself out. Father, thank you that you're greater than any technology, you're greater than anything. Amen.
Welcome to my son. This is Samuel.
Yeah, well, it's a real pleasure to be here with you this morning.
Well, I fight with these.
Why don't you just, while we sort this out, why don't you talk to your mate, Matt? Tell them one great thing that's happened this week. It could be about faith, it could be about anything at all, it could be about what you're expecting to have for lunch today. Just tell them one great thing that has taken place, and it's going to be 20 seconds. If this doesn't work, sorry that we made such a racket with my children, and I think we may need to reimburse you for a teacup. But we're here this morning in all our destructive glory. As I said, it's really a privilege to be here this morning with you. My name is Dave. I've been working for Sun and You for Christ for about 2 and a bit years now. We've moved here with one child. We've grown to 2. And it's been a real blessing. It's been a real blessing to be in Swindon. We moved. You might be able to hear a twang of Scouser in there. There we are. And kind of, I've lived all over the country. I left home when I was 18. Worked for Youth for Christ National for a while on one of their creative arts, touring arts teams. I know you look at me and you think, yeah, Dave, you're creative arts, don't you? Not really. But I used to be a dancer, I used to sing. And I used to be able to go to schools and tell people about Jesus through the medium of creative arts. I then started to, God called me into a local ministry within Newbury, just down the road, as a youth worker. It was great. That's when I got married. Learned what it used to be like for ministry in a local place. Then God called me onto a church in London as a youth evangelist. And my heart was set alive for evangelism. It's always had a heart for youth work. But this heart for evangelism really came to the forefront. And then God kind of moved us in again to over here. And so what I do is I have a privilege of managing the Youth for Christ Centre and saying, as a team, how do we look forward? How do we partner with churches in a meaningful way in order to reach their local area for Christ, and specifically with children and young people? And this morning what Susan's asked me to do is just share a bit about the heart of Sun and Youth for Christ, where we're going as an organisation, and how we can meaningfully partner together to see your children and young people in your local area come to know Christ. As an organisation, I thank you so much for giving financially to us, and also remembering us in prayer, the difference that it makes, you wouldn't believe. And so I stand here today and thank you. Just under 2 years ago, Swindon Youth for Christ, we sat down together and we asked God, what do you want to do with us? We started and we were at this tipping point, of a natural tipping point, of where I came in, some staff were leaving, not because I came in. We thought, oh no, bald Scouser, let's get out. And we said to God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to be able to be used by this town for your glory, for your kingdom? And he gave us this story of Nehemiah. And if you know the story of Nehemiah at all, is Nehemiah was in captivity. And God kind of brought his attention to the city of his hometown, Jerusalem. And he said, I want you to go back and rebuild it. And as he heard stories of how it had been burned and destroyed, he started to weep. And this idea of his heart breaking for this city really came alive. And so he felt this God say to him, I want you to go back and I want you to ask the king, the place that he'd just been exiled into, to not only release him to go back to his original home origin, but also to send people, to send resources. And the king, beyond disbelief, actually did it. Can you imagine it? You've just been taken into somewhere else and like Chippenham, somewhere like that. And you say, no, I want to go back and I want to rebuild the stadium of Swindon Town Football Club. And he's like, yeah, go for it. And here's some money to do it. And in those days, it just didn't happen. And so he took back people. He took back people resources. And people started to mock him. They're like, you're never going to do this. How can you rebuild the city? And what he did is he said, I know the God who sent me. Whenever there is power in the one who is sent, there is always the ability to get it changed. And so what he did is, this is the city of Jerusalem, and he went back, and the different colours there indicate the different families. And he set to work the families right in front of their different places. So this might have been the Saunders little patch over here, this might be the Clark patch, this, and each of them different represent the different places. And he said, get to work. And this is what God really laid on our hearts. This story, I was like, what? You know, Swindon's a town, it's not even a city. But he said, no, this is... Oh, no, sort of. Controversial. I can just see that that giving to Swindon Youth for Christ is just a minute. No, really, yeah. And this is what God laid on our hearts. And Swindon Youth for Christ, for the past few years, has been, let's go out and let's reach the young people. But what God was saying to us in this moment is, he says, how do you partner with the churches? Because the generations have changed to a point that unless you do it more with the local church, unless you emphasise, unless you build up the local church, then you're not going to be as effective as you could do. And so here today I stand before you intentionally saying that we have changed our emphasis, that we've changed our ministry, and I'm going to come to that right now. I want you to imagine, and this behind it overlaid is a map of Swindon Town. We are around about here right now. And we want to, what we feel God says, he said, come and rebuild the city walls. Rebuild the town's walls. And so how does God do that? This was our vision statement for the past 59 years. But as soon as I came in, I said, oh, that doesn't quite realise, that doesn't quite talk about what God is calling us to now. And I added four words to it. Don't tell you for Christ National. Let's keep it shh. No, they do know. But it changes the emphasis. And the four words that I put in are right at the beginning. It says, working in partnership to take the good news relevantly to every young person in Swindon. Because as soon as we start to see not only this church, as soon as we start to see our brothers and sisters in Freshbrook and Gateway and Holy Rood and other places, then we start to see actually an army being raised up. I very often get told, yeah, but there's a generation gap in my church of where there's no young people. And I say, that's fine, but are we believing for one? Have we given up hope, or are we saying, yes, God, we still believe in the fruit that you have for us? And this is the way that Swindon Youth for Christ are moving forward. We're choosing to work in seven different hotspots around the town. We're calling these little circles the hotspots. These represent different areas right across Swindon. And you'll see you've got the lawn, or lawns from the parks in that area. You've got Dorking, Meadowcroft, Gorshill, Parkhurst, Morden, Old Town and Lydiard, and Freshbrook and Wesley area. That doesn't mean that we're not choosing to work in other areas. What we've done is we've associated seven hotspots that we want to work in. And these are represented by seven high schools that we currently work in or have a relationship with. And what that means is that we can start to say, what are we doing within the schools and the streets and the churches around to reconnect churches with their community? And this is what a hotspot might be. Because you might say, that's great that you've got seven hotspots, but what on earth are hotspots? And this is what they are. Schools, detached work, churches, and the local community. And so what we aim to do is we aim to work in schools around Swindon. We aim to work on the streets around those schools. So whenever we see those young people in the schools, we also see them in the streets around them. There's that dual opportunity to learn, dual opportunity to communicate the gospel. We work with churches around those schools or in those streets, because then we say, do you have a heart for your local area? And we've seen that this morning with, is it Lawn Primary School? being able to say that you guys have helped fund those guys go over to Malmesbury to hear the gospel. 500 children in 3 days, that is no mean feat. And you're sending 60 of them. And that blessing for them, I'm sure, will go on and on and on. And then we work with the local community in that area. I think it would be naive of us to kind of look at our local community and say, actually, the church is the only local hub within that community. There are things like scout groups and brownie groups. There are other kind of churches within your local area. There are the PCSOs, that's a part of the different policing community team. There are community workers and social workers. And whether they believe it or not, I believe that God is using them for his glory and bringing a community aspect together. And so we try to work with them where we see gospel opportunities. And I want to share with you a little bit about what we do in each of those different areas. So in schools work, what we do right now is we are one of the only Youth for Christ centres to have both a secondary schools option and a primary schools option. Do you know 85% of individuals come to faith before they are 18? 85%. And so we thought that actually it is imperative that we reach not only our children, but our young people as well. Or not only young people, but children as well. And so that's why we do it. We work in primary schools all over the place in order so that when children move into the secondary schools, that they've already got a faith basis. And they already start to see, actually, this is where I'm going into. And this is a big part, a big time of transition in my life. That God can be part of this transition. I think generally in our Christian walk, we've lost what we call these spiritual rituals. And some of these rites of passage that we kind of sometimes neglect. Some of these times are when you turn 18, 16, move high school, move primary school. For some children who have no kind of like founding in their life, simply move year groups. And so we work within schools. We do Christian unions, but we sometimes call them faith groups because schools don't necessarily want us to call them Christian unions. And so they say, yeah, come in and talk about anything that you want. Just talk about Jesus, but just allow anybody to come in. And we're like, that is what we aim to do. Don't worry about that. And so, yeah, we call them faith rooms. We do the P word. So this was a response. This was from a few years back. A school came to us and said, we've got a real problem with pornography within our school. And not just guys, girls as well. And so we started to create this program that looks at pornography and the way it can manage and change your social and mental behaviours. And this is as a response to one of the schools. And lots of the schools now are asking for us to kind of go in and teach this information. Do you know, 1 in 3 pornography users is actually female now. And with the understanding with the kind of literature that is coming out, we're starting to see the average age of pornography exposure be reduced and reduced and reduced. The average age now is 12 years old. It's not a question of whether our children and young people will get exposed to it, it's more of when they will. And so we stand in that gap and we say, one, we make them aware of it, but actually how people get out of it. We've got people on team who have been ex-pornography addicts. And so we're able to share the hope and the joy that it is when God sets people free from that. The next thing that we've got is Lush, something that stands alongside the P word. And it's all about what place sex has within a healthy relationship. And we spend 3 hours with 15-year-olds talking about relationships. And again, what a godly relationship looks like. But actually, even if people don't believe in God, actually what the health benefits, what the actual social benefits of being in a committed relationship are. In our primary schools, Susan's already mentioned it this morning, we're doing Life Path this week. Yeah, 500 kids are going to hear the gospel this week. We also do assemblies and Christian unions. We also do enrichment days, prayer spaces, where children right across the school actually sit down and get to experience prayer. How amazing is that? And so that's part of our school's work. The second bit of what we do is detached work, and we talked a little bit about it before. So where we see young people in schools, we actually meet with them on the streets. And this is, a few years ago, we created this contraption, you might call it. This is almost like an ex-Tesco's delivery van. We call it the BIOS van. And the BIOS van, the word BIOS in Greek means life. And if you know anything about anything technical, and my laptop didn't go quite well this morning, but laptops, guitars, amplifiers, microphones, projectors, they've all got these things in them called BIOS settings. And without these BIOS settings, it doesn't work. It might literally be a brick. You might as well just use it as a book stop. Whatever it is, or a doorstop, these things don't work. And so what our project is called, it's called BIOS Settings for Life. And so when we go out, this is by 100% an incarnational ministry. And so we use this van. It's got two iPads on this side, you can see, with a laptop. It's got a TV screen, and what you can't see are two speakers there as well. This is another side of it, another shot, and you'll see these almost like wings that come out from it. It doesn't fly, by the way. It's not chitty, chitty, bang, bang. But what that is, it means that it is an all-weather provision. That in the winter months, in -2 degrees, when we go out there are young people out there because they can't be allowed at home. And so we provide this all-weather provision that goes into people's communities to say, we are here for you. We are here to talk to you. We are here to share the love of Christ with you. Here's another picture of some young people using it. And in the middle of it, there's a space where there's lots of sports equipment. There are chairs, there are blankets, there is hot chocolate, there are sweets. And we use this to be able to go out to a lot of the different deprived areas. Why do we go out there and not to a youth club? It's because only 2% of young people now say that a youth group is a poignant place in their life. 2%. That's changed from 10 years ago where that was 50%. Our young people's generation has changed significantly every 5 years. And so now we say, well, we are going to go out to you. We've spent years on parks and skate parks and just literally on the streets. And we do see young people come to faith. I'll use a lad's situation, and we'll call him Fred, just for anonymous purposes. Fred hasn't come from a church family. Fred has gone to school, he's not particularly bright, he's not particularly intellectual, but he hears that there is a God out there who loves him. He hasn't got many particularly close friends. Fred smokes. Fred drinks at the age of 14. Fred doesn't really have any future options. We meet Fred on the skate park, and Fred gets chatting to us. Fred chats to us about his home life, the way his father's not around, the way he lives with his mum, the way he plans, the only aspiration in his life is to get a moped. And work for Domino's because he can get pizza. We talk to Fred, and over time, 2 years down the line, Fred becomes a Christian in the skate park. We work with a local church, and Fred starts to attend regularly. In 2 weeks' time of attending the church, he takes 3 of his non-Christian mates along to it. Months later, he attends a football camp that we run, or a football session. Fred, 2 years later, is still going on with faith. Without this incarnational ministry, he would not be anywhere. Unfortunately, we reach young people where we'll be in parks and they don't respond. But what God calls us to do is he calls us to go out. And that's what God calls you to do. Your ministry and our ministry is exactly the same. So we work on detached work. We also work with churches. And we say to churches, what are you doing and how can we come and join with you? If you say, yeah, I haven't got a youth group, but how I'd love to build one. We could say, okay, how do we work together? How do we come alongside you in order to try and build a youth group? If you've got young people, you say, I've got young people, I don't know what to do with them. We'll come and work with you to build an effective discipleship model. We worked with numerous different churches at Christmas time. And the next little tiny video that you'll see is of one of our workers. We decided to go down and meet up with the Stowe in Rorton. And they are an incarnational ministry again. And they just said, how do we bless our children and our young people at Christmas time with the message of Jesus? And they set up a mince pie stall literally right outside the school, some hot chocolate. A farmer brought down some sheep and set up a little petting place. And with the giving out and with the expression of Jesus' love, people came to hear about the gospel as well. And so this is Ben. Ben kind of works for us. And you'll see him just move out the way there. You can see us with the BIOS fan. And he's chatting with different people, just explaining what is going on. As you can see, there's some of the things. It's right outside the school. And there's just parents lining up as we're kind of explaining the gospel to them as they're lining up for their children. Sometimes it's much easier than we think to share our faith. Also what we do, we run an event called Synergy, where we've gathered together with 12 different churches from around the town who said, we want to provide something for our young people, for our Christian young people. And so we gathered with 12 different churches, yourself involved, you come down and help. And 120 people, 120 young people rock up to play one sport, and then the second thing is they get to hear the message of Christ again. They get to worship. Sometimes it's as simple as providing a space for them. It's like, you know that thing, we build the stadium and the people will come. It's like that. Youth ministry, I think we've built up to be really difficult in our heads. And young people more than ever just want community. They just want to find love. And so we're working with churches to say, where is your may or my or wall? And how do we help and equip you to rebuild it? And the last thing that we do is we work with local community. I was saying, with the local police and crime commissioner to say, where are some of your more antisocial behaviour areas? And how do we help to tackle those? Every area that we've worked in, every area that we've prayed over in the past 3 years, we've seen antisocial behaviour drop by at least 12% amongst young people, in as much up to 33%. The power of prayer works. We sang before, what a powerful name of Jesus. And I stand here today and I believe it. Do you know, I'm an evangelist at heart. I shared with the group I was back before. They said, what you been up to recently? I just said, I've been quite operational. And they said, we can tell that's not your heart. I was like, no, it's not. And I often go around churches and I hear people say, you know, if one person comes to faith because of me, then that's great. And I say, my heart sinks. And I say, is that your dream? Just one person? Do you know, when I walk into heaven on my last days, do you know, I want to see a huge crowd of young people behind me. Not because of what I've done, but because of the effectiveness of God in this local area. When you were born into this place or have been brought to here, God has said, this is your watch. This is your time for just a time as this. And I don't want to waste my time here. I don't want to say, actually, there is not a purpose in me being here. And so I work hard, I work relentlessly with young people and children to say, actually, this is your town. Stand up and rise up. Do you know what Generation Z now is what they're calling them? Are the most activist generation of young people that we've had, as according to social records. And I think what an opportunistic time. Because if those guys catch a vision of the gospel, if the activist generation captures the understanding of who Jesus is, then actually there could literally be revival in this place. Both in Swindon, in London, in Manchester, and praise God, Liverpool, everywhere. And that's what I stand for. And so I'm going to show you a last video. A last video. This was produced by Youth for Christ National. And this is a video that starts to talk about what Youth for Christ is from a national perspective. But it represents what a generation of young people that we have now. And then after that, I'll short talk for 2 or 3 minutes, and then I'll let you go to worship. And so that, in essence, is what we're about. We are an evangelistic organisation. We are about seeing young people's lives changed by Jesus. There are 56,000 children and young people in this area of Swindon. We cannot do it without the church. And so we're here to say, how do we, churches, together, how do we reach our children and young people for Jesus? If you want to hear any more about what we do, if you want to see any more about what we are capable of or how we work and work with you, please do come and chat. Anything that I've talked about today, you can grab in the forms of so many bits of paper. We've got little magnets that can go on your fridges at home. We can give you a pen to take into work. Anything that we do, come and grab it off us. One thing I talked to Susan about before, you might see I'm looking a bit red this morning, like a bit of a lobster. Myself and two of my colleagues, in order to raise core funds for the organisation, to keep the organisation going, in a few weeks' time, on the 13th and 14th of July, we've decided to do the Three Peaks Challenge. If you know anything about the Three Peaks Challenge, you'll know this is no mean feat. I naively have signed up myself and two colleagues to do it. If that doesn't motivate you to say, you know what, this is worth giving Dave a tenner to do it, nothing will. The idea is that you basically do the three highest peaks in England, Wales and Scotland, respectively. So that's Ben Nevis, Scarfell Pike and Snowdon within 24 hours. So that means we're travelling up, we're starting to do Ben Nevis at 6 a.m. in the morning. We'll finish that by 11 a.m. We'll then drive to Scarfell Pike, start that at about kind of 4 o'clock in the afternoon, do that in 4 hours, so down by 8 o'clock, then drive over to Snowdon and start that off at a gruelling 2 a.m. in the morning. And this is not to make us look good. I am definitely not a walker. Even my colleague said he doesn't even like walking. But we've decided to do this for one reason. One reason, and that is to raise money, to raise awareness of what Youth for Christ are doing, and to be able to reach more young people with the gospel. And we are saying to you, we thank you for your generosity already, but would you partner with us through this way as well, if you feel able to? You can do that this morning. I've got internet access, and you can literally give on a laptop this morning, or you can do it, contact the office any other way. But that's on the 13th and 14th of July. You can come, please do not touch it, because it's quite warm. But yeah, I was out with my military friend yesterday, and he just said to me, Dave, you are going to die at this. So I don't think so, but you know, we'll see. But again, thank you very much for inviting me here this morning to hear about what kind of just be with you, be uplifted myself, but also share about what we do as Youth for Christ and how we can potentially partner with Lawn Community Church.
Right, yeah, thanks, Dave. That's given us lots to think about, and I think it's given us challenges as well in terms of our bit of the wall. I know we've been thinking lots over the last couple of years about what is our purpose, but I think, you know, we've had another challenge this morning to think and seek God about what is the purpose, what is our little bit of wall that we need to be building, and where are we going to get that help from? So thank you, Dave. I'd just ask you to stand. I think we need to pray. We need to pray for Dave, for his challenge. We need to pray for Youth for Christ. We give thanks to God for Youth for Christ. We need to pray for ourselves too. So I just ask, with two or three people, let's pray now, just as we're standing.